Hey, honeys. Welcome back to Life as a Question Mark podcast here. This is the podcast where you never know what will be happening next. Heck, I never even know what's going to happen next until it is happening. I'm your host that always keeps you on your toes and is such a question mark of a person, Heather Donovan. So you know what time it is? It's time to talk about the current season of the challenge. Just in case you are listening to this episode in the future, which, what are you doing? Do better. Keep up with this listening schedule and keep up with us. But anyways, I'm going to be talking about Season 39, Battle for a New Champion. It's been a hot minute since I've talked about it, so I will be talking about some events that have obviously happened weeks or even months ago in episodes. But like I said, it's fine. So, the first point I have to bring up is Jordan Weasley, Jordan Champion, Bum Hand, that guy. So, he was in elimination against another guy, and he crushed that elimination, and he just is a constant reminder of how smart he is as a competitor, and not to sleep on him. Let me tell you what the elimination was first. It was like the buttons were going in a sequence, like they're lighting up and stuff, and they had to race and go press a button to get a point. So, Jordan, I was not sure what he's doing. I'm like, what are you doing, bro? You're better in this. But he took the first round, maybe even one and a half round. I don't know. But at least took one round and just kind of hung back a little bit and watched a sequence of the lights go off so he would know where to push them within the next two rounds. That is just so smart. And you know, let's bring up this point too. I like Jordan in a Challenge TV series, but I don't like him personally. I think that he's an arrogant, I can't say the word they want to, but it rhymes with butt and it begins with an A. I think that he is not a great human being. So, I mean, there's that. I mean, props to him for being a great challenge competitor slash champion, all the things, but I just don't like him on a personal level. But of course, I don't know these people on a personal level. Probably never will. It's okay. You know, that kind of thing. And I am so mad that Melissa and Big T was sent home earlier than they should have because they really made the season and I gotta say, I really don't understand why people were really after him. I think Melissa was a bigger threat for the girls, but I think that they were really afraid of Big T's social game. And I get that they were after the UK people for a while, and they were really a house target. And then poor Kylan got into the ropes of it too. I don't know, I thought that they really made the seasons, they really brought the drama. They were the episode, okay? And when they left, it started getting a little boring. Then we just saw this Jay and Michelle show, where Jay just threw a tantrum, Michelle is just, I don't know. I'm not ditching on Michelle because she did play a good game this season. I was mad that Michelle didn't make it to the final, but Jay did. I would have rather seen Michelle get to a final than Jay. Jay was just, again, the word that rhymes with but that begins with an A. And he just had tantrums this whole entire season, and I just don't like Jay either. Personally, maybe a different story, but I don't even know if I'd like him personally. I don't know. I don't know these people, so maybe that would change. Again, probably never meet these people, but it's fine. But yeah, I'd rather have seen Bliss and Big T stay longer instead of Michelle and Jay, because I think we could have seen a better season, because I feel like it was just Jay and Michelle just puppet playing all these people, and they were just doing it their way, and it was just kind of like last couple seasons of Big Brother, where there's a house target and whoever gets HOH gets to go after the house target and they just follow the house. I just feel like it was that, and I feel like Bliss and Big T was switched up the game. Even Kylan Horacio Nerese. Too bad we never saw that. And Corey voted for himself during the Ed and Emmanuel vote, which was smart. He didn't put a burn vote on anyone else, which prevented ruffling any feathers of anyone else making an enemy to him. And this also prevented the boat from becoming a stalemate, giving TJ the power to do the unknown to them. Which, if you've ever watched a challenge, you know that you don't want to give TJ power. And if you haven't watched a challenge before, if you let TJ have all the power, or quote-unquote production, they say TJ, but you know it's the production, then you don't know what they're going to throw at you next. So it's better to have all control when you can. It ended up going to stalemate because Ed voted for Jay, which I do understand why he did that. He understood that he was probably the bottom of the poll, and I think he didn't know that Jay was running the show. But however, he was in a good alliance, so, you know, I think he got away with it by saying, oh, well, I just was joking, blah, blah, blah. But then, here's what the next part comes to. Jay almost S'd himself when CT came out. CT called down one of his closest companions, which is, I think it was Aston, and he was mad at Ed because he said, oh, well, you should have just left it as the other person going in or yourself because I would have lost such a close friend and that kind of thing. He also blamed Nerys too for that, but it's fine. Nerys and Olivia. And Jay, oh my God, Jay's freaking tantrums. And again, prime example, saw this all over Facebook, but oh my God, what a freaking baby. I mean, my God. And then we're going to go forward a little bit. This one kind of happened within the last couple weeks, we'll call it. It's a big Olivia fiasco that has taken over social media. And this one is Olivia picking Mariah over her, Nerys, Kylan, or Horacio. Sending Nerys, Kylan, and Horacio into elimination. Which, here's my opinion on all this. Olivia was playing a good game under the radar. Wasn't a threat for a while until she turned on Jay and Michelle. Mostly Jay. Which, I mean, he's an arrogant. Rhymes with but, begins with A, you know, that type of thing. I definitely thought that she was going to make it into the final. But here's my opinion on the Olivia voting for Mariah. She knew that she was probably screwed if she didn't pick Mariah. Which, of course, she could have went back on her word. Absolutely. But when you're in a game like that, a high-stress game, doesn't matter if it's Survivor, Big Brother, Amazing Race, The Challenge, you're going to make dumb decisions like this. And she probably trying to think of, well, I could just say that I'm going to vote for and then vote for one of the other three. There's probably no mindset there. But my point is, she was trying to save her game. She was trying to stay in the run for the whatever it was. I went on to say $1 million, but no, they lost the majority of the money with the vets. So, I mean, I honestly get it. She was in survivor mode for her game. Which, did she get eliminated the next week? Abso-freaking-lutely. Which I'll go back to that in a minute. But I do understand that. And I cannot say that I wouldn't have done the same. I probably would have done the same. Especially if I wasn't thinking in that high stress environment. Being in a high stress environment makes you do things that you normally wouldn't do. Especially if you were thinking on the outside. Or especially after a situation saying, oh, why the hell did I do that? But I do understand it. And that's my thoughts on it. Now going back to elimination with Nerys, Horacio, and Kylan. That smile that Horacio made when Nerys was about to win the elimination, I loved it. He was so happy for her. She crushed that elimination. I thought that she was definitely going home in that because she went against who male beast. I thought she was a goner. And I really didn't get to see her compete that much last season, especially with her winning and stuff. So I really didn't know what she had in the tank or anything like that per se. And TJ's comment about it, about her being a badass, was fantastic. Just love. And like I said, if Kylan and Horacio stayed in the game, then I think it could have been a different game. But on the other side of the coin, they probably would have went home anyway eventually. Well, they had one or two more weeks, but I don't know. I think eventually they would have came back and got him again. And then Nerys won elimination against James, I think it was, Mariah's boy toy. Let's call him Mariah's boy toy and Olivia. And I'm like, okay, she has a good shot against this too. Because, you know, she might lose against James, but she might have a foot up against Olivia. Won that one. Total badass queen. Loved it. I don't know. I thought that was great. But in the finale with the finalists, I definitely didn't want Jay to win. And I really wanted Nerys to win because the rest of them, besides Jay, well, Jay didn't really need to be there. We know my thoughts on him. I don't know. I feel like they were kind of carried to the end. But that's just a me opinion, I guess, to put it simply. So in the finale, the Jay tantrums. Oh my God. It just made me so glad that Corey, which I thought that Corey was going to be gone because he dropped that one rope and screwed it over for the rest of the team. He took Jay out, and thank God, because I think we would have seen a lot of Jay tantrums. So he saved us from that. So thanks, bro. That was really cool. And Nerys, again, such a beast. She beat Mariah, which I'm like, oh God, she definitely might need to go home now because Mariah is a good competitor. Oh, I forgot Mariah was in there. I don't think she deserved to be there, though, because I don't think she won that many challenges. But anyway, back to the point. Nerys sabotaging Emmanuel and Colleen because she trusted Colleen, and Colleen really screwed her over. Like, there was one point where she wanted to flip and go with Horacio, Kylan, Nerys, and Olivia, and then she flopped. She went back to the other side. I mean, if Colleen went to the other side, I think they would have had the numbers, but she was A, too afraid to do so, and B, she wanted to be with the quote-unquote winning side. Okay, girl. But Emmanuel, I do get it because he was winning the first, like, partner parts. So she wanted to slow him up. So I get it and give him disadvantage. And how the heck did Berna get third at the tile comp? She won a few daily challenges, but I don't think that they were really anything. And she's a weak competitor. Like, how the heck was she there to begin with? Can I just say that? And it just made me mad that she was there. Again, I don't know how she is in personal life, but in the challenge, I don't like her. I'm sorry. Maybe she's a cool person in the real world, outside of TV, but she ain't for me, bro. And Nerys called Burnout for cheating. Let me say this. Berna definitely did cheat from Colleen in the snooker part of the final. And if you go back and look in the episode, which I had to go back and look, you can see that she looked at Colleen's board. She just looked at it. Totally 100% cheated. And it's no surprise that Emmanuel won the whole entire thing. This part's pretty funny, actually. I just gotta share my opinion on this. I was watching the interview after he won. I'm like, of course he won. And I thought something like this. And this was my subconscious talking. Of course he won. He's the male version of Casey Clark. Ain't that thought and opinion valid, though? I mean, come on. It's true. My girl, Nerys, won second. Loved it. And Colleen got third place, which, how the hell did that happen? Even though, I'll get to that in a minute. I never saw that coming. I thought that Corey was definitely getting third place. They were so close. But Corey's kryptonite was that freaking balance beam. He could not get over it to save his life. And of course, there's no surprise that Berna came in last. Shocker. I told you that was happening. She should have quit. It would have saved so much crying and stuff, but you know, heaven forbid, you know, all that stuff. I cannot wait for that reunion though. And I saw this on social medias too before the advertisement came on for the finale. I am dead that Melissa and Big T are wearing crowns to the reunion. Love it. So you know that's going to flare up some drama. And I hear that there's a lot of different drama, like I think it's Tori and Laurel versus Michelle, maybe Carl and Maria. Nerys and Olivia versus Colleen. Quite a few different arguments happening during the reunion. And I am here for it. And let me tell you this too. I feel like we've been gypped in these reunions. Like we should have been getting reunions for all the good ones. Like we should have gotten one in the last Challenge USA, the champion one. And the Challenge USA season 2. And we should have gotten a lot of these challenge reunions that had a lot of dramatics and all that stuff in it. I am so mad because the challenge production has been gypping us on these reunions. What kind of BS is that? But anyway, we're finally getting one and these might be the one to oust it. And I'd like to say it's Devin Simone that's the host for this. I'm not really sure. It sounded and looked like her. But there's a part like towards the end of the advertisement where she says, "Security, security." So you know it's going to be good. I am all for it. I can't wait for this reunion. And of course, we're going to be talking about it. So be ready. For this topic, I'm going to be talking about, of course, it's in the title, why I am single at 30 years old. And a lot of people find it hard to believe that I am single and 30 years old and that I've technically, I don't know if you'd call this dating or not, but I've only dated somebody for like 1 to 2 days, maybe 3. So I don't know if that really counts. It's fine. So not a lot of relationships, things or anything like that. No experience. It's fine. And some people wonder not only why am I not dating, but they think I'm weird for it and think that I have a problem mentally. And I am here to normalize this, and this is why I'm making it this topic, that it is okay to be single for a very long time, even if you don't have your first relationship till like your late 30s or whatever. Who cares? It's your life. And there are so many reasons why I choose to be single. And let me be honest with you, for a long time when I was bullied and all that stuff, the PTSD even still gets to me. In life, I was kind of taught that it was not okay to be single. But guess what? I'm here to tell you, yes, it is. And you are even a stronger person for doing so, I believe. And my thing is that you cannot be in a relationship and do the 50-50 or 80-20 or 90-10, that kind of thing. You cannot do any type of percentage of your relationship if you do not work on yourself first. Working on yourself is crucial. Like, if you don't have your stuff together, then how do you expect to be your full potential in a relationship? So, for example, if you are not in a great financial spot where you're not in a ton of debt, you can be in some debt, but I wouldn't say, like, in a big amount of debt. And that includes, like, currently not being able to get on your feet, or you're not emotionally or mentally okay, or you're grieving a family member or a friendship, whatever. Whatever the thing may be. You need to get over that hump and work on yourself to be the best self you can be before you can give any portion of yourself into a relationship. I've grown to understand that. And then you may have questions about yourself, which I still do. And until you figure yourself out in life and figure yourself out, period, it is too okay to be single. Or even trying to figure out what you're doing, like job-wise, where you want to live, if you want to have kids or not. I don't know. Who knows? It's different with everybody. then figure that out before you get somebody else involved. When you get somebody else involved, it's about both of you. It is no longer just you. It's we and us. So it's very important to figure out your stuff out before you get another person involved. Which, I mean, sometimes another person can help, but at the same time, it is also a lot to ask for the other person to bear so much. And I'm not saying it as a negative way, because sometimes it's mentally a lot for them to deal with their own stuff plus your stuff too. And you cannot get back to them like helping them with dishes or whatever else. So that's just my suggestion. Stay single until you figure out your crap, no matter what it is. I mean, I have mine partially figured out. And that is not the full reason why I'm single. That's just one of them. I choose to be single also because I am so picky and my standards are high. And you know what? I think that we should have more than society. Why are we settling for a very low when we should be aiming higher? Aim to the stars, guys. What are we doing? Is it that bad where you rather would be below what you deserve than to wait and be single and wait just for that person that matches your high standard to come along? I mean, sure, don't get too up there where it's unrealistic, but be realistic enough. Like, oh, I am 100% going to trust them if they go away for a weekend, that they're not going to cheat on me. And I trust them with my financials. I trust them to keep a secret. I trust them that they're going to help me with the kids or whatever it may be. Stop being so picky and go to your high standards as you can that are reasonable. And you know, here's the other thing. Do not rush into a relationship. If you rush into a relationship, sometimes they don't work. Even though you are with the right person, there's a time for everything. So do not rush it. Like, it might not be a right now relationship. It could be a later on the road. Like, maybe you guys need to get to know each other better, or you need to figure out your BS, or they need to figure out their BS. Or financially, you guys need to be in a better spot. Or you guys have disagreements where maybe you guys need to take a break or put a relationship on the back burner. Just stay friends. Whatever it is. Do not rush into it. And I do not want to rush into anything. So, I mean, those are my reasons. I need to figure my life out. Like, what I want. What I want to do. Get myself settled into a better spot. And I don't want to rush into anything. Like, let me say this. If the right person comes around, then absolutely, I'd be into dating, whatever, taking it at our speed. But I'm not going to date somebody just because. That's a lot of bull crap. And into my 30s, and with not a lot of time to spare, I don't have the time for it. And I am so picky and have just high standards that are not unreasonable. Why would I pick somebody that is below? I mean, we just got to do better as a society. And that'll probably become a topic in the future, like about why we should be more picky and have higher standards for ourselves, just in general. I am also doing this episode from the heart, so you gotta give me credit there. All right, so guess what time it is? It's time for a tarot card reading. And today we are just doing very general. And the general reading for today is what is in your guys' future. So I'll be calling my spirit guides here and we'll figure out what that is. Spirit guides. What are in my listeners' and supporters' futures? All right, we got one. We have the VII of Wands. And what that is a Seven of Wands. And it is upright. After a success of the Six of Wands, you are now in an enviable position and are being challenged by others who want to take your place. You work hard to get to where you are, but some people covet what you have and are prepared to fight you for it. While it is flattering that they strive for your success, it makes for a tense and competitive environment because you need to protect what you earned and must continually prove yourself. It is a sad fact of life, but the more visibly you have as a leader in your field and the bigger your audience, more likely it is that you will need to grapple with this kind of pressure. Others see your success and will either change your point of view or want to take you down. In Australia, we call it the tall poppy syndrome. When the Seven of Wands appears in a tarot reading, expect to see an increase of haters, trolls, and people who disagree with you. You will need to secure your territory and fight for what you stand for. You may want to engage in a lawyer or a legal support team who could defend you from any possible threat. The Seven of Wands may appear when you hold a contentious point of view or wish to voice your opinion in public form. Be ready to support your argument and back yourself. Stand firm in your conviction and believe so that others do not topple you from your mountain of beliefs. Sometimes this threat or opposition may catch you by surprise. You may feel inadequately prepared for such battles. Just like the man in the car has put his shoes on and ended up with a mismatched pair, you must scramble to fight even though you don't have everything in place. To be better prepared next time, the Seven of Wands encourages you to map out any potential threat or risk before moving ahead with your plans. That way, you can have a worst-case scenario plan ready to go. The Seven of Wands can also mean a challenge to the success of creative of an external source. Someone or something may begin in the way of you being in the pursuit of your goals and dreams. While it appears to block your path forward, you can overcome this obstacle by drawing upon your strong self-confidence, self-belief, and continual self-improvement. Establish clear boundaries and then protect them so that others do not mess with you. Hold your ground, take a stand, and defend your position at all costs. This will require courage and persistence, but you have the strength and determination to do it. Keep fighting for what you believe in and confront those who may oppose or threaten you. So, two thoughts come to mind on this. And this is either a work / career reading or what it relates to, or relating to a love or relationship situation. So I'll be talking about the work / career one first. So you may be challenged or in competition to protect or try to get a better job, or maybe it's a raise or a better position period in your job. Or maybe you want a different job completely, but you are going to have to fight for it, earn it, and really persevere and defend. Maintain your control and really stay persistent. So that is my prediction for the work / career one, is that you are going to fight for a raise, a better position, or for you to keep your job in the near future. Now, love / relationship one. All right, so the first one I have basically has to do with kids. So basically, your partner may be challenging you for parent support or guardianship, like that they want more and that you have to pay like so much in alimony and that kind of thing, but they are not in the best interest of your kids. So you are going to have to fight and get your control in check. Do not lose your control. And you are going to have to work in your best interest to protect your kids, challenge and defend your children by rising up to the challenge and battling them in court, no matter what the cost. Just maybe dating wise, I can see like some of you may be in competition for a certain partner and that you really are going to try to pursue this person. Because a person who you're going to try fighting for to be in a relationship, like your supposedly partner, they're not going to want you in return. They're going to talk all kinds of smack about you. And you know what? You're going to have to maintain control and just read the situation and figure out that, you know what? This person is not for me and I'm going to defend myself and no longer compete for this person and move on. So those are just some predictions that I am just getting from this general reading. So that is it for this week's episode. So don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your favorite strangers about the podcast. You can follow and converse with the pod and other listeners of the pod by following the podcast social media. The Facebook page is Life as a Question Mark Podcast. Instagram and TikTok is Life as a Question Mark Pod. And we also have a Patreon for the podcast. And it is Life as a Question Mark Podcast. And you can subscribe and become a member for as low as $7 a month. And you'll get all kinds of special surprises in there. Such as we got some special treats going on, like by no later than March 3rd of 2024, I will have part one of the 6-month reading for the year of 2024 done. And remember, it's a general reading, may or may not come true, just like all the rest of these readings. Forgot to put those little disclaimers out there. Last couple times I've done the tarot card reading is fine. And then I will also be posting past dance recital videos up there of dances I have done and some other fun miscellaneous things. So make sure you stick around and you are subscribing to that and you don't want to miss it. And after the 3rd, after we get that 6-month reading in there, it'll be Sunday, March 10th of 2024. I'll be starting the weekly general tarot card readings. So you do not want to miss that either. I really do love hearing from you all, especially in your feedback about the pod. It really helps the podcast become better and grow. You can also follow myself on my personal Instagram and TikTok at MissDsWorld2022. You can also find a link tree to everything in all the social media's pages, bios that I've mentioned above. This is also where you can locate the podcast website and the Patreon as well. You can also show your love and support for our podcast by donating to the pod. You can donate by clicking the support link in the show notes that is in every episode. That's for the audio part only, of course, like the website or Apple or iTunes podcast or Spotify or Amazon Music. If you're on YouTube, that's a different story. Just ignore that one. Subscribing on the podcast website or by hitting the payment button in the link tree. Or the last one is that, of course, you could become a member on the Patreon while you are getting behind-the-scenes content. When you make a donation, no matter how big or small it may be, I will give you a shout-out on an episode of the podcast. If you're not in a shout out, so then it's okay. I got you. I can give someone a message on an episode of the podcast instead. I could do messages such as proposals, wedding proposals, give someone the bad news that you want a divorce, or I could tell someone to pick up their goddamn laundry off the floor. No matter what you choose, it will be personal for you and a very, very small thank you for helping the podcast become better and grow. Please make all donations through family and friends, though. All donations will go 100% towards podcast only. For example, it could go towards paying subscription costs for either using the programs I use to edit my podcast audio or the videos for, or the podcast website. If I need any new or extra equipment for the podcast, or it could go towards any traveling expenses to go to interview a guest to be on the podcast. And remember, we are still hoping for those big heavy hitters to come on the podcast. So remember that we got to do all these things to make that be able to happen, especially getting the word around for the podcast, you know. Got to make that happen. So we have a random word of the episode. And this one, I am so excited for. And I'll give you a reason why in a minute. The random word of the episode is snack. It's such a fun word to say. So that's my only reason. So this will be it for this episode. And I will talk to you guys in the next episode. And until then, behave and do better.